This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Rappaport to the rescue with award-winning animal advocate, best-selling author, journalist, and pet products creator, Jill Rappaport.
Hey, welcome to Rappaport to the Rescue. I'm Jill Rappaport, our first show in the new year, and I want to wish all of you a very happy and healthy new year. And here's to a great 2025 filled with love, peace, health, happiness, and of course, what do I always say is the most important thing? Adoptions. Make this your year to make a difference for animals in need who need your help now more than ever. Well, I certainly have a great show kicking off the new year today because my guest is one of the most recognized faces in TV news. He's won an incredible 36 Emmy Awards, and he's also one of the first inductees into the New York State Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame. Chuck Scarborough has been in the anchor chair in New York for an incredible 50 impactful years. Did you hear that number? 50. And he ended 2024 with one of the most memorable and heartfelt farewells in TV history. Along with his stellar career, what I love about Chuck is he also happens to be one of the most passionate voices for animal welfare. And together with his equally talented and beautiful wife, Ellen, they have made such a huge impact for animals in need. So when we come back, the legend himself, Chuck Scarborough, along with his better half, Ellen, will both be joining us on Rappaport to the Rescue. So stay tuned.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Oh sure, it's all fun and games until someone ends up in a cone. That's right, we're animals. Deal with it. Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Rappaport to the Rescue. I'm Jill Rappaport, and you heard the intro. We have a legend in the doghouse. The one and only Chuck Scarborough, my dear friend, and his incredible wife. I love you guys so much. And would you believe we're going on almost 5 years since you were last on this show? You were one of my debut guests back when COVID started in 2020.
I was hoping to get an invitation back. I've waited year after year. And finally.
It took a little while, but Chuck, you're so famous. Even the Empire State Building lit up for you. It was very hard to get you back until now, but I have to tell you, I am so honored. And what a year it's been for you. And first month off in retirement, how has it been?
Well, it's been very quiet. And we coincided with the holidays, so it sort of felt like the usual Christmas vacation.
He's my handyman.
Yes, I've been a handyman. We won't go too deeply into that, but we've spent a lot of time at home. So I really haven't kind of grasped the idea that I don't have to go anchor broadcasts now that I'm liberated from the anchor desk, if that's the proper term. I dearly loved it for actually more than half a century because I began my television career in news 8 years before I arrived in New York in 1974. So it was actually 58 years. Yeah, it's a big transition, Jill, but I'm looking forward to whatever adventures lie ahead now, and I've got lots of directions I could go. This being one of them, being on a podcast with you.
Well, our audience can't see your faces, but I love that you're both still smiling and so happy now that you have him home 24/7, Ellen. That is encouraging.
Encouraging for whom?
For all of these years that you've been married. You know, Chuck gets up, he goes to work, he comes home very late at night, and you've kind of had this time to yourself, and now you got him around full time. Is it a good thing or not?
Well, I just tell him he has to wear a suit every day.
And that voice, hello, Ellen, welcome to my house.
It gets a little awkward at night when it's bedtime, but, you know, if that's what Ellen wants, That's what she gets.
Well, what is that like for you, Chuck? I mean, you know, you talk about 58 years. And for those of you who didn't hear, and I find it hard to believe that you wouldn't have heard about all of the celebrations starting last spring when you actually had your 50-year celebration in the anchor chair there. It was so unbelievable. The Empire State Building lit up in blue and gold. There were tributes from celebrities, from politicians, from officials all over wishing you well. And then you made this incredible decision recently, literally right before December, that this was it. You were going to call it quits. Why? Why now?
Well, the time seemed about right. The 50th anniversary occurred in March, and we had this over-the-top kind of two-week thing that you described. It was fun. The company dredged out all kinds of reports I'd done over the last 50 years and some of my favorite stories, and we got to rerun them. And yes, there is this blizzard of congratulations and happy farewells when you finally decide to go. But I guess I'm sort of still recovering from that wild ride for that last 7 months, because after the 50th anniversary, there were some discussions about whether how much longer I would stay with the company and how much longer I'd stay on the anchor desk. Frankly, I'm still under contract with NBC, and still, if I choose to do so, can go in and do some special reports. But for the meantime, I don't have the tyranny of the anchor desk pinning me there, except for my bag to get away to go do something, which I dearly loved to do in years past. But just the idea of cutting back after all these years, after I'm 81 years old now, and I thought it was just time to sort of relax a little bit and spread my wings a little bit. I've been doing one thing for a long time.
Jill, do you think he looks 81?
You know, again, because this is audio, if you know Chuck, you know he looks at least 25 years younger than he is, minimum. And I'm looking at you now and I'm thinking, it's shocking to think that you're 81 years old. But I also believe you look that good because you've done what you love for the majority of your life. You truly love it.
I think there's a lesson in that. Yes, I think that if you do something you like, if you're really committed to it and passionate about it, yes, I think that keeps you vital, it keeps you engaged, and it keeps you probably more youthful. It keeps your brain working anyway, to some extent. And that's rather critical. But yes, if you can do that, if you can find your passion and find a way to make that work for you, I think it does help a great deal over the long haul.
Well, you know, very few people in this business, and I really can count them maybe less than one hand, and now I have to say you and Hoda Kotb, who have decided to leave at the top of their game. That is a privilege and an honor that very few people get.
I think the thought was that I better, since I'm thinking about it, since the idea has been put into my head and I'm thinking about stepping back from the anchor desk, that I better do it before I start to fail seriously, before I start to become less competent and embarrass myself at some point. Yes, there are lessons about that abound in our society, about people hanging on too long beyond their appropriate retirement date. I just think that was part of the consideration that this, although I think probably the top of my game was several years ago, it wasn't just now. I think I was still on my game and am still on my game to a large extent. And that was, I think, an appropriate time to step back a little bit and begin to pull the plug.
But we were really shocked. And Ellen, I think I messaged you immediately. I said, please say it isn't so. Because back in March, when we had this huge celebration, nobody even had an idea, a thought, a hint that you could be going into this direction of, like, I'm going to call it quits, you know, right before the holidays. Was this something that just came up in the fall? Did you think about it last March when you hit the 50-year milestone?
Yes, I was thinking about it then. The 50-year milestone was kind of important to me. I wanted to get there just because it's a big number and a nice round number, and we love round numbers.
And so many people came up to him and said, don't ever leave.
Yes, that was hard. But yes, the thought was flitting around, but not fully formulated at that point. I reached the 50th anniversary, and after that, I began thinking about, well, how much longer do I really want to do this? And should I really think about, as we were talking a moment ago, before things start to disintegrate, before I start to deteriorate with age, maybe I should get out before I do something that embarrasses myself. So, or another thing that embarrasses myself worse. But not that there haven't been embarrassing moments before, which we won't go into, of course, Jill. But in any event, that was, it was a process. And the process finally came to a head several months ago.
Of course, as we all know, Hoda Kotb just bid adieu to the Today Show. And Andy Cohn said something very interesting to her on the set the other day. He said, you know, this is so great. You went out on your own terms. It was your decision. I want to check back with you in a month. And now you are a month out. Was it the right decision, Chuck? Are you thrilled you did this, or do you really kind of miss that?
No, I'm not thrilled. Not thrilled I did it, but I can't tell you that it was the wrong decision. It wasn't a thrilling thing. In fact, I feel sort of, people congratulate you on your retirement. You know that, don't you? You know, people, when you retire, people come up to you and congratulate you and say, congratulations on your retirement. Is it just that you actually didn't get fired, that you were able to retire? Was it, what's to congratulate you? Or is it, I guess it's you achieved it. You got there, you survived the entire work life, and now theoretically have a lot of retirement in your hands. I will figure out after I do a lot of little things, which kind of got swept by the wayside during my working life, little things around here, I will look for other things to do. And one of them might be to become a competitor of Jill Rappaport and the podcast.
Well, the difference with you and me is I've had my shows taken away. I didn't want to say goodbye. Unfortunately for me, it's like, no more show. And I'm still hoping and working to get that show again. I don't think I could ever walk away from anything, because I always feel when I get something, it was so hard to get it that I just never want to let it go. But that's why I'm saying you are in this rarefied air, Chuck. Very few people get to the point in this business at that level in their career. And Ellen, I know you agree with me, where they are at the top and they choose to leave on their terms. And it's an enviable position that, you know, even your last day, you're so humble, Chuck, when all of your co-anchors and you had your beautiful grandchildren on with you. And I could tell you were choked up, but, you know, you do it in the Chuck Scarborough way with class and dignity. But I could tell it was very emotional for you.
Oh, it was. There was no doubt about that. It was. That last broadcast was extremely emotional. A lot happened that I wasn't expecting. I didn't expect some of the things that were said. I particularly was touched by both Hoda and Al Roker, who had very nice things to say. And my grandchildren completely blindsided me. They went in with my daughter and her husband, and they had said they had lunch in the city. That was the very day, the day that of the last broadcast. They had this ruse set up that I did nothing wrong. And they were going to the city to meet a friend with the kids and all having lunch together. What they were doing was going to NBC and doing this little newscast with the two grandchildren, my granddaughter 7 and my grandson 10, planting them on the anchor desk. My daughter, Elizabeth, had prepared a script for them about granddaddy.
And they were so good. I saw future.
Yeah, that was the first take, I'm told. Actually, they pulled it off beautifully and had pictures to support it. And I had no idea that was going to happen. So that knocked me for a loop on the broadcast. But I think just, you know, you work in this business, Jill, and you work with people every day who you admire. And it's a fairly intimate thing doing broadcast notice, as you know. You get deeply into the stories with other people. You are involved in this sort of frenetic deadline every day, getting broadcasts put together. And there isn't a lot of time doing that to sit back and tell people how much you appreciate them. So to have all of that happen, and for me to have an opportunity to explain to my coworkers how much I appreciated them and what an honor it was to work with them, was really emotional. It was really humbling. And very satisfying. It was, in a way, a little surprising, frankly, from some of the things that were said, but I did appreciate it all. And I think I'm probably still coming down from that blizzard of kind thoughts and farewells, still coming back down to earth, but it's been a month now, so the eagle should have landed at this point.
Well, and now that Ellen has gotten carpenters in there to widen the doors, right, Ellen? First of all, for our audience listening to this, Ellen is like a supermodel. She's about 5'11". She's absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. She's as brilliant as she is beautiful and always stays out of the limelight. You don't like it, Ellen. I've noticed that about you.
No, when people say, are you also in the news business? Oh, heavens no.
Yeah. But what she does is what you do, what you're so passionate about too, and I as well. And that's her
passion for animals and for animal welfare.
That's right.
You guys, the two of you are really involved in that.
Well, and you too, Chuck. You know, in the intro, I talked about the fact that the two of you together have been so powerful for animal welfare. And my favorite event every year is the Humane Lunch, ASPCA.
Yes.
It is the most unbelievable experience. And every year, Chuck is the host of the event. And you are so passionate, you and Ellen, what you've done for animals and your rescues. What is it about these animals that give us back so much?
They don't ask for money and they don't talk back.
And unconditional love, and they never look at you and go, did you gain a little weight?
Upright. They love you no matter what you look like.
In fact, we're looking at, we've got Phoebe snoozing on the sofa directly opposite.
Because,
that's our rescue dog.
Your rescue, your black lab that you actually went quite a far distance to rescue from Texas,
We did. We had to go to Texas to get this one. We had an interesting adventure over the summer when the grandchildren were here. There was a little gray cat that was found in Central Park, and it was abandoned in Central Park. Little tiny thing, probably 5 pounds.
Balancing on a wire fence in the rain,
yeah.
This little cat.
And well, tell the story about how she was found and what happened.
Well, a friend of mine, Sonia Isaac O'Donnell, she's a real hero for cats in the city. And a friend of hers who also rescues cats saw this cat in the city. She was walking a dog. I don't know if it was her own dog or someone else's, and saw this cat teetering on this wire fence. And she picked up the cat, put her on her shoulder, and continued to walk her dog and walked blocks on blocks to get to a vet. And this cat just calmly was there on her shoulder. Can you imagine in all the chaos of New York? And
perched on her shoulder.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, this cat wanted out and was looking for the first ride. And that's where it started. Chuck, you can continue.
Well, Ellen got wind of this and she called ARF. So I'd asked if ARF would take the little cat in. The cat needed a home and needed someplace to go.
And ARF is the Animal Rescue Fund of the Hamptons.
Yes.
And it's just a wonderful organization.
Yeah, that's the east end of Long Island. So the ARF said, of course, we'll take the kitty cat in. And so we had the cat taken from Manhattan to the east end of Long Island. And Ellen fell in love with the cat. It was the little kitty cat. We had to go went to visit the cat.
Well, I just was so amazed that this cat was so clever and so resourceful and in the rain to make herself seen. And it worked for her.
What was the name they gave the cat?
Celeste.
Celeste, yeah, Celeste. The cat has a new name now. This is where the story gets interesting. So Ellen decided that we would foster the kitty. We have a dog and a cat. And so with the grandchildren in Southampton, we brought this little kitty home, and everybody was very happy to see a little kitty. Everybody except our dog and cat.
Uh-oh.
Who initially were curious, but eventually were absolutely terrified. The dog is 48 pounds. Our cat's probably 15 pounds. This was a little 6-pound gray kitty.
And your cat is like a person. Yeah, I've never met a cat
like
your
George,
cat.
The cat.
Yes.
And George was intrigued initially until the first time the little gray cat swatted him. Then the two of them, our two animals, were petrified of this little creature. And we thought it would settle down. So it didn't settle down for the couple of weeks in Southampton. So now the cat has moved from Southampton to our house in Connecticut. And as in the being kept in the room we're in now, just to acclimate itself, and dynamic doesn't shift. We look one day we were sitting here where we are right now on the sofa in our library, and we see the little gray cat is sitting on a chair staring at the door, and they look at the door, which is 20 feet away, and both our dog and cat are sitting side by side, backs to the door, looking terrified, wanting nothing but out. They want out of the room with that animal in there. So we decide very reluctantly that this is just not going to work out. We can't get this cat to integrate into the family. So my son calls his mother in Florida. To cut to the chase here, we end up flying the little kitty down to live with my ex-wife.
Oh my God.
In Florida.
who
lives alone in an apartment. She adopted the cat. So now the cat went from Central Park to the east end of Long Island to Southampton to Connecticut and then to Jacksonville, Florida. And
this
is now living happily in Jacksonville, Florida.
And she officially adopted Celeste.
She officially adopted. Yeah. Celeste is now Catherine, named Catherine by our grandson.
when you consider the beginning and now where she's ended up. And does your ex-wife adore her?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, what a good sport she was to take on this path who clearly, I don't know, had a few problems, I think.
Yeah.
She survived Central Park. So, but they're getting along beautifully.
I can't believe the story.
Quite a story, isn't it?
This is amazing. But Ellen, on the board of ARF, and I know you're not just a board member, you are out there reaching out to people, texting people when you hear of a disaster situation, urging people to please adopt, please foster, do whatever you can. You both are really in the trenches trying to spread the word, aren't you?
Well, yes. And the nice thing is that Chuck can emcee so many events that we've done over the years, poor thing, and give them a voice. Right, hon?
Well, yes, but I think you underestimate your contribution, my sweet.
Well, I know. It cracks me up because Ellen comes off somewhat shy. And I always say, your personality, the way you look, I mean, get out there, sister. And she's like, no, no, I'll be in the background. But I actually had the huge shoes to fill for the wildlife rescue when I was filling in for Chuck as host this summer and following Chuck Scarborough, literally, you know, who needs Ozempic? You're nauseous. You're scared. Chuck, you are a hard act to follow. I have to tell you.
Oh, I think you can do it just fine, Jill.
Fine job. I've been to many of your events, and we've even co-anchored, you and I,
yeah,
at some of these events for wildlife. And
they need help.
You take a backseat to nobody in that, my dear.
And that's what I love about both of you, because it's not just dogs and cats. It's the wildlife.
Yes. And you know, not enough people care.
Exactly.
Yeah, that place has a lot of difficulty. It just struggles to stay afloat, and it's so necessary. It's the only place you can go on Long Island. On the east end of Long Island, if you find an injured animal somewhere, a wild animal, or you have any kind of an issue with wild animals, they're there 24/7, but they're hanging on by their fingertips financially.
Oh, no.
Evelyn Alexander Wildlife Rescue Center.
And I've called them several times. I've seen literally deer hit right in front of me, and I call them, and they are the most wonderful people. They are there. Like within minutes, and to comfort that animal, whether they can save it or even in its last minutes of life, they will give that animal a warm blanket and comfort that animal.
Yeah.
They're incredible. They're truly doing God's work. But Chuck, now that you have more free time, and Ellen, now that you have them around more, what's your wish? What's your hope and dream?
I haven't formulated that yet. Of course, animal welfare will always be part of the program. That's something that we're both committed to. But the rest of the time that I've freed up here has yet to be filled in. I've got this, I'm looking at this void ahead.
I think Jill has a few ideas.
Yeah. So I'm going to be considering options for a while, and I've got, I'm under contract for the next 6 months with NBC. So that's a good time to think about if there's anything else I'd like to do, and we'll see what happens.
Well, I have a feeling, Chuck, that 6 months would be 60 years. I don't think they'd ever put an expiration date on anything you'd want to do.
Probably I didn't. The one thing I didn't do and thank properly was the National Broadcasting Company, effusively enough, for keeping me employed for the last 50 years. It's been a marvelous company to work for. And I know you've been there, and you know what an extraordinary place it is, what a historic place it is, what a storied place it is, that 30 Rock. That was certainly a grand privilege, and I really, really appreciated being able to work there for so long with so many extraordinary people.
When you watch Hoda, all the tears and the emotion, I know you can relate more than most. What are your thoughts and feelings for her now that you've been away from it for almost a month? How do you think she'll deal with it? Because it's going to be an adjustment.
I think so. I think everybody goes through an adjustment differently. It's a major change in life. This is something that's been a huge part of my life for a long time. So to veer away from that, to not completely, because as you say, the door is open and always will be, I hope, but to not have a daily role in that, I think it's going to require an adjustment. I'm not far enough ahead of her in the process to give her any terrific advice on this. There's nothing I can say right now that would give her any guidance or comfort. But I think she is, as you mentioned earlier, because she's retiring at the stepping out, not retiring, I don't think, but at the top of her game, and she has other interests she wants to pursue. I think she will, whatever she decides to do, she will excel in, and she'll spread her wings and have new experiences and make the turn, make the adjustment, one that I hope to be able to make as well.
So no regrets, right, Chuck?
Oh, I don't know. Regrets, I've got a few.
Okay, Frank Sinatra.
But no, I think it was the right decision, and I'm comfortable with it, and I am curious about what lies ahead, certainly.
And Ellen, this is the time where you can really do some great, exciting things. Do you have any plans maybe that you haven't even shared with Chuck yet?
I think she might have plans she has to share with me. I'm not quite sure what they are, but no, we've been talking about general transition, you know, about perhaps a little more ambitious travel that lies ahead.
Yeah, you guys love to travel.
We have to find a place we both agree on. I suggested Australia. She doesn't want to go to Australia, so that's where we're standing. I've never been. Have you been to Australia?
No, I hate flying. If I could drive there, I might go.
That'd be a tough one.
Yeah.
But Ellen, now that you don't have to worry about adhering to Chuck's schedule with your plans, that's got to be so freeing for the both of you.
Well, I was hoping to rent a place in Snowmass or go to the Adirondacks for a while. I'm missing more snow and haven't gotten a yes from Chuck yet, but Phoebe is ready to go. And I think George will go with us. I would love to go to Japan. I'd love to go to India. A lot of places I haven't been, but I have a feeling Chuck doesn't want to do all those places. We'll see.
Not all at once. Well, we can have a sort of a checkoff list.
Yeah. Is he more relaxed and chilled now that
no,
he does?
Not at all.
Take your time answering that, Ellen.
I'm afraid relaxed and chilled has never described me very well, but yeah.
It's like the general. He's just got this more time to tell me what I need to do. But he's very busy doing things himself.
Well, that's what I love about Chuck. See, people don't know that side of you, but when I went to visit you at your home in Southampton, Chuck's got the tool belt on. He's, you know, in the carpentry. He's out in the field. He's out in the lawn. He's a hands-on guy.
He really would be a very good engineer. He can figure out every broken piece of equipment, every broken furnace on the property, and before the repairman can. So he's good at that. I don't know if that's where he wants his future to be.
Yeah, but I'm going to open up the plants repair store. Let's,
Oh, Chuck, you're a man's man, man.
Yes, get in there.
It's all logic. You know, it's the same thing. What do we do as journalists? We look into things and try to figure out how they work, right?
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Exactly.
And try to figure out what's really going on. And it's the same thing with around the house, the same thing with all the things around you. If you're curious enough, you'll kind of dive in and figure out how it works and what makes it tick, and then you can fix it.
Oh, well, this has been so much fun. This is so great catching up with you. And I can't wait till our next show to see, Ellen, what Chuck is up to and where he's at with everything.
I'm waiting to see that, too.
Yes.
And on a final note, anything for our animal-loving audience? Any messages you want to share with them to encourage people to open up their hearts and homes to these wonderful animals in need?
Rescue animals are so grateful and so wonderful, and they're usually very healthy because they aren't a single breed, and they are ready to be loved and taken care of. And I can't imagine my life without rescue animals. In fact, I might be without my husband if I have as many as I would like, but he has drawn the limit at times. But it's just the most wonderful, rewarding, joyful part of your life that you can imagine. And it would be a shame to not take advantage of that for yourself and for the animals.
And I'll second that.
That's so beautiful. But
that's wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, thank you both so much. You're amazing people.
Thanks, Jill. Nice to talk.
And thank you all for joining us on this first show of Rappaport to the Rescue for 2025.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.